Well, good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for joining me. It's really a pleasure to be able to pray the chapel. I'm so grateful for everyone who calls in and everyone who joins us wherever they are. I received a telephone call earlier this morning from my aunt, my wife's aunt, Louise, and she's 93 years old. I've talked to you about her before. She is sharp as a whip. This lady is, you would think she was 73. I mean, she's just phenomenal. I mean, bright, elegant, articulate, mobile. She goes to Mass every morning, and she goes with a group of friends. And one of her friends prays with us every day during the chapel, this group of ladies. And Louise reached out to me and says, "Hey, could you pray for Sabina?" And Sabina, I'm going to keep your medical condition private because I'm not sure whether I should say it on the air. But we're going to ask everybody to pray for you. We're grateful that you listen to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and we're going to bring you before the Lord right now. And Lord, I do want to pray for anyone who is battling cancer. I want to pray for anyone who has a life-threatening or debilitating disease. Lord, I give you these impossible situations that so many people face and who don't see a way out of it. Doctors may say one thing, and I know you can always say another, so I bring them to you. Father Simon, Maggie was just telling me, is still under the weather. I can't believe he can do his radio show. Let's continue to pray for his health. Father Simon is under the weather as well and certainly needs help. I want to share an email that came in, if I can, before we start. And the person wrote to me, I'm going to keep the name anonymous, and I hope he's listening. He says, "You probably won't read this on the air. That's fine. But please pray for me. I've suffered from same-sex attraction all through my life. I don't act on it. Still, I met a young man about 7 years ago. He worked at the Starbucks I go to daily, and I was he was extremely good-looking, and he treated me very nice. And I have to admit that I really fell in love with him. We had a nice little friendship that developed over the past 2.5 years. He worked there, and then he moved on. We stayed in touch for a while, but that stopped about 3 years ago. He just stopped communicating with me. I really like to see him. Maybe the Lord doesn't want this. He says, I'm still in love with this man to the point of obsession. Drew, this is so painful to me that I'm at the point of despair. I pray for deliverance, but I get no relief. This is so painful to me. I really care deeply about him. He was always so nice to me. Please ask God to relieve me of this romantic obsession. I'm losing my mind over this, and I suffered terribly because of it. Thank you so much, Drew and Maggie. I appreciate all of your prayers. And no, I pray for you daily. God bless you. First of all, I love this man. I think his heart is so pure and so open. And you're not alone. You know, whether it's this homosexual attraction, you fall in love with this person, or somebody who's listening right now who has a broken heart because they've been betrayed by their spouse, or they've been betrayed by somebody that they love, or they've lost someone. It's hard. Those emotional wounds, those broken hearts can be tremendous crosses. But I want to speak to you particularly, and I'm going to keep your name anonymous. I want to, first of all, thank you for writing, and I want you to know how much we do love you, and we do care about you, and you how deeply you are in our prayers. You are not alone. I'm telling you that right now. You're not alone. There's a lot of people who struggle with same-sex attraction. And I'm touched by your honesty and by your courage and your ability to share your feelings and your struggles. It's a heavy burden. Yeah, I want, you know, you're not alone in the journey, though. The Catholic Church teaches us really about the infinite compassion, about the mercy of God. And God is with you as you struggle, as you walk this path. But, you know, a couple things I want to highlight very quickly if we can do this. One, the distinction that the church makes between experiencing same-sex attraction and acting on it, right? You've shown unbelievable strength and fidelity to the church's teaching by not acting on your feelings. And you are a witness. You're a significant testimony. You're a testament, really, to the faith. And you're and an example to others to live according to God's will. So I want to commend you on that. Couple quick things. We're going to pray for you right now that I would do in this situation. This goes for anyone who's struggling like this. Prayer, right? I believe so deeply in prayer. I've seen the fruit of it. It's the gift that God has given us. It's a channel which we can communicate to God and in which the impossible can become possible. Continue to pray. Not just for deliverance from your obsession, but for that inner peace, for that understanding. And sometimes prayers are answered in ways that we don't always understand. The second bit of advice to you, and this goes for anyone who's struggling in any way. Gentlemen, if you're dealing with pornography, if you're dealing with gossip, lust, whatever the situations may be, the sacraments of the church are so rich. They're so deep. They're so profound, especially the sacrament of reconciliation, which gives you special graces and heals those wounds. The Eucharist, which will nourish and feed you and give you that grace and give you that strength, right? Get spiritual direction, too. Don't do this alone. Speak to a priest, speak to a counselor, speak to somebody who understands. As you go through these tough times, lean on them, rely on them. You know, and also just one final thing here too. Offer it up. Right? That can sound trite, but when you offer up your suffering for the benefit of someone else, maybe the souls in purgatory or somebody you love or somebody who's struggling like you, God will unite that to the cross, and I'm telling you, it will become redemptive. It will become powerful. And guard your heart, you know, try to avoid that near occasion to temptation and to sin. But, you know, for anyone who is dealing with homosexual, same-sex attraction, the church teaches us we're called to chastity in our life. It goes for whatever your state in life is. But through self-mastery, the church says you can approach Christian perfection. And I love that. I think it's such a beautiful way of putting it. So God's in control. I want to pray for anyone who's struggling in these areas today in a particular way. And Maggie, it's so great to have you with me. I know we have to pray the chapel, but anything you want to lead off with as we begin?
Wow, what a letter. Yeah, that powerful was powerful. Prayers for an increase of the virtue of chastity all across the board. We all need it. Our society needs it desperately. Prayers for Father Simon, who's still sick. Prayers for Christian's son, Miguel, who's suffering from pneumonia. And I'd like to pray for the Supreme Court hearings and deliberations today about the use of abortion pills.
That's such a good intention, Maggie. Thank you. That should be on everyone's agenda in the days ahead. I mean, this could be a big game changer, but we'll put it in the hands of the Lord. Let's pray for you right now, whatever your challenge in life is, physical, mental, emotional, psychological, financial, relational, whatever it might be. Let's ask God for mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today. It comes from Martha. She is in Minnesota. Hi, Martha. Good afternoon.
Hello. If you would please pray, I have a lot of hip problems. I'm 26 years old, and it looks like I'll be having surgery pretty soon. I ask for a miracle or God's will for perseverance and strength in my suffering.
Amen.
Thank you.
Are you having a hip replacement surgery? Is that what you're going to have?
It's an osteotomy.
Okay. Well, look, we'll put you in the hands of the Lord. I know there'll be a lot of recovery time, a lot of pain in the days ahead as you continue to suffer. So, Lord, I give you those who suffer, and I just ask that you allow their suffering to be meritorious, that you give them special graces, you hear their prayers in a special way. And I lift up this particular soul, and I like the way she prays. If it be God's will, for a miracle. Lord, you can heal the bones. You can restore instantly. I've seen it. If it's your will that she goes through the procedures, Lord, then I just ask that you be that divine physician. You be the hands of that surgeon. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from David in Clovis, California. Hi, David.
Hello. I want to thank you, Drew, and your staff for the service. This is pretty awesome.
Thanks.
Last year, I called in saying that I had a brain aneurysm back in 2019 in April, and then this coming April will be 5 years, and I'm still stuck in this quagmire of the effects of the brain aneurysm. I had small successes, but I just know that there's a small percentage of people that have brain aneurysms survive it. And the specialist up in San Francisco said that my recovery is going to be likened to a slow-moving train, which it went good, and it's pretty slow. So I just want to thank you and and everybody else for praying for me. I just I'm just calling again, just
you got it.
Ask for more prayers.
Well, let's do this. We'll ask that train get out of first gear, right? We'll move into a higher gear, right? No more slow-moving. We want that express train. Let's pray for that right now. All right, David, I love your spirit. Let's pray for you. Lord, I believe you can heal this man today. I believe you can restore him to total health. I pray for the moment of these prayers forward that his cognitive, his abilities, his brain, these issues of healing that he needs so desperately begin to manifest. And I pray for anyone who's suffered head trauma, anyone who's having cognitive decline right now, Lord, anyone who has tumors of the brain or upcoming surgeries, Lord, I give you to those with dementia and Alzheimer's, give you these souls and all those who now pray with me. And I turn to you again with confidence and with gratitude, Lord, for your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Rose, who is in Illinois, let me go to Maggie, who's praying with us right here in the studio. Always good to pray with you, Mags.
Always a pleasure, Drew. I've got a bunch of things coming in here on X and Facebook. Grace says, hello, Drew. First, I'd like to thank you for this ministry. I'm writing from Manitoba, Canada. I'd like to ask prayers for my husband, Bill, and his 6 children, and for reconciliation for them to all be able to heal from past hurts and family troubles. John wrote to us. He says, please pray for my sister, Kathy, who's in danger of losing sight in one eye, potentially both. There's no known medical treatment for her condition. Jesus, I trust in you. Leonore wrote to us and said, for a friend's court case tomorrow, Wednesday, March 26th, Tuesday, March 26th, that the judge will rule in his favor, charges dismissed for family forgiveness, conversion, love, and reunification this Easter. Hong wrote to us and said, please pray for the repose of the soul of my brother Emmanuel, who on this day passed away 1 year ago.
Wow.
He passed away unexpectedly and stopped going to church many years before that. Pray for his soul. and then says, Maggie, I think you're going to have a girl. Charlene wrote to us on Facebook and said, praying for Marge, who is turning 90 this week and took a bad fall and broke her leg. Please pray for her twin sister that this weekend they can celebrate their 90th together.
Wow.
Amen to these beautiful Catholic sisters.
Amen.
And lastly, this one really struck me. This was from our Facebook comments from Tom. He says, I pray that all of humanity acts to forgive everything that we have yet to forgive. Father, please let our lives be free of grudges and passing judgment on others. Teach us, Father, how to forgive as you have forgiven us. Jesus, I trust in you.
That's the prayer. That's for sure. Beautiful. You know, Maggie, I was thinking of that person who wrote to you about whether you're going to have a girl or a boy.
No, yeah.
As we get closer, we should put a poll up.
We should.
And let people determine. We'll see how they do
a little bet.
What they think. That'll be good. All right. Well, let's pray for you too, Mag, and for your intentions and for your baby. And I want to pray for those mothers trying to get pregnant and for all those just today who are having difficulty, Lord. Rose in Illinois, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Yes. Thanks. I'd like prayers for my daughter-in-law. She's going for breast cancer. She's being treated for breast cancer. And for Joan, she has so much pain in her back and shoulders, and it's hard for her to even get around. And for myself, for back pain, and for all my family, and for all the listeners that are praying.
Well, Rose, we love you. Hang in there, okay? I'm sure you have a lot of crosses in your life, a lot of pain. But I know your prayers, they seem so genuine and pure. I know God hears them. Pray for us here, too, part of our spiritual family. We'll pray for you, for your daughter-in-law undergoing chemo for breast cancer, and for all those with back pain. Lord, I give you those intentions in particular. It can be so debilitating. I want to pray for all those who are suffering with curvature of the spine or herniated discs. I want to pray for Kay Burke, a friend of mine. She often suffers. It's been a terrible journey for her with back pain. It's constant. And I just ask, Lord, did you extend your healing touch to those right now who just need a reprieve and a break? Eternal Father, we give you these intentions as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to San Diego next. Mary, thank you for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling for the miraculous healing of Father Boyd. He's in the hospital here in San Diego. He has a brain bleed, and my sister just updated me that they won't allow him water because he's choking.
Oh.
We need all good priests, and I'm praying for all priest health and for the discernment of all young men that want to become priests.
Oh, beautiful prayers. Mary, we'll lift up this beautiful servant of God. We'll lift up all your prayers as well. Maggie, you were with me today when we prayed the Angelus, and Father Rocky says that St. Jose Maria Escriva said that four souls have exceptionally powerful prayers before the throne of God. Children mm-hmm. is one of those.
Priests. The sick.
The sick, right? Suffering. And I don't know what the fourth one was.
I can't remember. Oh, virgins.
Oh, and virgins. All right, there you go. But I think of how many people here are suffering. Right? And how powerful the sick and the suffering, how powerful your prayers are. So I invite all those children to pray with us. And Lord, I just bring to you this spiritual family of mine here. I ask you to hear every single one of their utterances, every one of their cries, their pleas, their intentions. I know you bring good out of everything. I lift up all priests in particular, this priest who needs a miracle. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Suzanne in Franklin, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
I pray for your upcoming baby. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
You're quite welcome. Drew, I really need prayers. I'm having a road test tomorrow. I'm 81 years old.
Oh, boy. It's
I need to have this car because it would take away all of my independence. And so I'm asking that God would let me pass this test tomorrow. Mm. And you mentioned something about someone having back issues. Well, that's also my issue.
Oh,
I do have macular degeneration, so this is going to be a real test tomorrow. Ooh.
So it's more of an eye test than a driving test then for you, right?
It's the driving test, right. I had the eye test done, and they said I was legally able to drive yet. So
well,
it's the driving test that I have to go through.
Let's pray for peace. I do not blame you. If I was, you know, in your shoes right now, I would be so concerned, right? The freedom that comes with that license, your ability to get around, the independence. Just, you know, say the chaplet again and again, you know, and trust in the Lord. And Jesus, I trust in you, right? We'll pray the rosary tonight with Father Rocky if you can. But we're going to pray for you now. And, we have a spiritual family here. There are people who are listening all over. Many people may be in similar situations. I know they're going to pray for you tonight as well. So, Suzanne, I'm going to pray for that miracle, okay? I'm going to pray above all for peace, that when you get behind the wheel, you're in complete control. Whoever sits there views you with eyes of mercy and sees that you're more than capable of driving. And Lord, I pray for anyone right now who faces the loss of independence or freedom, whether it's with driving, whether it's with being homebound or bound in the hospital or incarcerated. I just ask your peace, which pervades everything, Lord, which supersedes all understanding. I just ask it fall upon Suzanne. She'll call back rejoicing in the good news that she's able to drive. And Lord, I give to you everyone who is on hold with me, so many difficult situations. And I give you the sick, the poor, those who are struggling financially, Lord. I give you those in troubled relationships, those in trouble with the law. Lord, I give you the needs, the wants, and the desires of everyone who's united with me. And we turn to you with trust as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
Servant of God Maria Esperanza.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hey, a real quick programming note for you about the chaplet. I am not going to be praying the chaplet this Friday at 3 Central, 4 Eastern. We're going to run the chaplet an hour earlier. So if you are in the Eastern time zone, we'll pray it at 3 Central. If you are 3 Eastern, if you are in the Central time zone, we're going to start it at 2 o'clock Central time. If you are in California, it'll be at noon. So hope you can join us. For it, of course, and please tell others about the chaplet. Send me your answer prayers, too. I really believe God hears these prayers. I'm convinced of it. You can do that by emailing me, drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer or mark it praise report. You can send your petitions to us as well. Good way to get eyes on them, though, is Maggie. She's on our X account, and you can do that at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And we'll be praying for you. Let's pray for one another too. I'm going to try a little bit of a longer form fast come the Triduum. So Maggie's giving me the thumbs up. Maggie did a 3-day fast before she was pregnant, of course, last year. And I just need prayers for it because I really want to try to get through it, Maggie.
You're going to do great.
I'm going to try. As you get to eat, because you're eating for two.
I know.
It's hard.
I'll pray for you every time I eat.
The hardest is day one. That's the toughest part. But let's pray and fast. Don't forget, Friday's also a day that the church asks us to fast. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, if you haven't heard, the next Relevant Radio Pilgrimage is being led by Father Rocky. He's going to Poland and Prague this September. And tickets for the trip are almost sold out. You can reserve your spot today at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
Shalom, friends. This is Mo from Bonet, Israel, and I'm here in ancient Shiloh with some very important updates about the red heifers that have recently been brought from Texas to Israel.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is a fascinating topic and conversation. The revival of the red heifer prophecy and its significance. Have you ever heard about this? I find this really intriguing. And I want to delve into a topic that bridges both faith and prophecy, one that captures the attention of both, I think, the Jewish and Christian communities. And it's the Jewish red heifer prophecy. Professor Roy Shoman, a great convert to the Catholic faith, is going to be joining me in a minute or two here. This is a subject steeped in ancient scripture, modern speculation. You heard that there may be a red heifer today. And it's a really a fascinating blend, I think, of religious belief and eschatological expectation, if you will. So the heart of the prophecy is this. It's found in the Old Testament in the Book of Numbers. It describes a unique sacrificial ritual that involves a red heifer. And this isn't any cow. I mean, they're talking about taking a very young, completely red-haired. You can't have any blemish on this at all. It's supposedly never been yoked. And the ashes of this red heifer holds significant ritual importance. And it's more than an ancient rite, but there's buzz about efforts in Israel to breed a red heifer that meets this particular biblical requirement, because they believe that it could signal the building of the third temple in Jerusalem, an event that, of course, is deeply intertwined with messianic expectations. But unlike specific signs or prophetic events, the Catholic Church, our perspective on this, when it comes to return to Christ, he's always about being ready. We don't know the day or the hour, right? We need to live our life with faith and be right with God. It's a call to live not through the lens of predicting a time or a date, but through a life filled with faith and virtue. And, scripture's filled with references to the return of Christ. Matthew 24, verses 30 through 31 remind us of Christ's glorious return. But it also, in Matthew 24, 36, warns you about something else, right? It says the time remains unknown. Only God knows that time. So here to join us today is Professor Roy Shulman, and I'm so glad to have him with me today to kind of unpack this. Right now, there have been recent reports of efforts to breed this red heifer. There have been many accounts recently, believe it or not, in the past. But you know, inevitably something changed, or the heifer didn't meet the prophetic, prescriptions. Right now, I think they're currently, I read somewhere between 1 and 1.5 and 2 year old heifer being kept in a secure, undisclosed location in Israel. But for the ceremony to be valid, it's got to be at least 3 years old. It has to remain, and that's the key, without blemish. You can't have a single white or even black hair on this animal. So let's talk a little bit about this. Let's talk about this as well, because I also saw a story that AI, artificial intelligence, there's a new AI that is predicting the return of a Jewish Messiah. So I'll leave that as a separate conversation. But I just, I'm delighted to welcome to the conversation Professor Roy Shulman. He's an adjunct professor of theology at Ave Maria University and at Holy Apostle Seminary. And he speaks frequently at Catholic parishes and conferences all throughout our great country and in Canada and Europe and South America as well. And he's back once again to give us some perspective on this. Feel free to join us too. You can dial in anytime. 888-914-9149. Professor, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm delighted to have you. So unpack this. I broad brushed this. Okay. I've been reading about this red heifer prophecy for a long time. And there's been accounts in the past where, somebody says they have it, and then suddenly they find a white hair or something changes. Bring us back to the Old Testament and what the Jews believe and why the Jews today are looking for it.
Sure. First of all, it dates back to Numbers 19, the very beginning of the Jewish people when they enter the Holy Land. Essentially, the only cure for ritual impurity was to have a perfect red heifer, as you described, and burn it in a special way in a special place, and mix it with special water, and then the application of water from this, mixed with the ashes from this red heifer, could purify the person from ritual impurity. So the red heifer was absolutely necessary to restore ritual purity, and one would enter a state of ritual impurity for just like being under the same roof as a corpse, or coming in contact with a dead person, or coming in contact with somebody who came in contact with a dead person. So this is tremendously important. The water went a long way. The ashes went a long way. So in the entire history of Judaism, there were, I believe, only eight red heifers who were sacrificed in this way for their ashes, because their ashes would last for many, many, many years. And I think Moses, I don't remember offhand, I know Moses sacrificed red heifer, Ezra sacrificed red heifer, and then between the first temple and the second temple, I believe there were 7 more red heifers sacrificed. Then, of course, with the destruction of the temple, there was, in some sense, no ability for ritual purity, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of fell by the wayside. But now, as you correctly pointed out, there are a number of red heifers that actually have totally passed the test. And the oldest of them is going to be 3 years old in time for Passover 2024. So there's a buzz of excitement that this coming Passover, there can be the restoration of ritual purity. And with the restoration of ritual purity, and this is what makes it such a kind of world-shattering geopolitical event, with the restoration of ritual purity, it becomes theoretically possible for the Jews to rebuild a temple on the Temple Mount, which is not something which would really endear them to the Muslim population. So that's why there's a tremendous, almost like panic, but there's this conspiracy theory going around the Muslim world that the Jews' plan is to sacrifices red heifer, get the water of purification, purify Temple Mount, destroy the mosques that are on top of Temple Mount, and rebuild the temple. And in fact, the October 7th attack by Hamas was called what? It was called Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, Al-Aqsa being the Muslim name for the Temple Mount. So in fact, that attack, some people think, was actually precipitated by the fear that the Jews would take possession once again of the Temple Mount and destroy the mosques on it.
Wow, that's fascinating. You know, I had read, like I said, but following the story, I think it was last September, I saw that five red heifers that were deemed ritually pure by certain rabbis arrived in Israel from Texas. And of course, it stirred this prophetic excitement. But then I don't know what happened. I guess over the course of the growth, something happens, a black hair shows up, a white hair, and they're no longer the case. You know, this is kind of a bizarre prophecy in some respects, but what do you make of it? I mean,
First of all, the prophecy part, I haven't gotten to yet, really, but the prophecy part is that there were these nine red heifers in the history of Judaism. And the prophecy is that a 10th red heifer will appear. And when that 10th red heifer appears, it'll be the time of the Messiah. So the prophetic part is associating the reemergence of red heifer with the Messiah coming. And if you want a scenario for Armageddon,
sure, yeah,
Armageddon has to precede the second coming of Christ, right? If you want a scenario of Armageddon, tearing down the mosques on Temple Mount to build a temple is a pretty good scenario for bringing about the war to end all wars. So,
wow.
So there is that funny way in which the prophetic, the prophetic quality ties into kind of contemporary possible world history. I do want to throw in another little spice,
sure,
which is there is a tremendous amount of Christological echoes in the story of the red heifer, that the only explanation of some of the mysteries of the red heifer is the fact that it is emblematic of Christ. Because, for instance, the red heifer has to be sacrificed and burned. There's only one place where it is to be sacrificed, which is on the hillside of the Mount of Olives, directly across from Temple Mount.
Yeah.
We know that as the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah, right.
The red heifer cannot be dragged there or carried there or transported there. It must go there of its own free will. Jesus, right? He said, "No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life of my own accord." Jesus had to go into a sacrifice of his own free will. The red heifer is, of course, a red heifer. The Hebrew word for red, Aduma, is based on the word for blood, which is dam. Mm. And Jesus, what did he do? He turned red in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Shed
he sweat blood.
Blood.
Yeah. So, As a Catholic, you know, it's one of the many, many things in Judaism that seems to be a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Christ.
My guest today, Professor Roy Shoman. I'll tell you, we'll take calls on the other side. If you want to join us, I'll open the phones. The numbers are 888-914-9149. Today, taking a look at really the return of Christ, the second coming. You know, in Divine Mercy, St. Faustina wrote about this. And I'll share a little bit of what she revealed. Many other saints have commented on as well. But my guest today, Professor Roy Shoman, if you want to get in, feel free to give us a ring. We'll take your calls, and our conversation will continue with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and at relevantradio.com. Prayer, not panic.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. If you are just tuning in, let me tell you what's happening. there's buzz right now. A lot of Israelis are coming to see a red heifer, and there's an ancient prophecy that is connected to it. Jewish prophecies say that the era of the Messiah will be ushered in with the construction of a third temple. And there are people who are, I guess, trying to get that accomplished. And the red heifer plays into part of that. But if such a temple is to be built, it would require priests, who had been purified. And that's why the arrival of this, actually there's five red heifers I was mentioning that were brought from Texas to Israel in September of 2022, was causing a stir. But one of the heifers was actually bred, gave birth to another red heifer, which apparently is notoriously difficult to come by. So these heifers are now in Shiloh, the site of Israel's first capital, the place where the tabernacle stood for hundreds of years before King David brought it to Jerusalem. Of course, the building of a third temple, right? That's going to be fraught with all kinds of political and military dangers, and Israeli authorities are not going to be letting it happen anytime soon. I've invited an expert, Professor Roy Shoman, to join me today. He's a professor of theology, and he's the author of a couple books, Salvation is from the Jews and Honey is from the Rock. Great reads. You can find them at Ignatius Press. And Professor, let's do this because time's going to go very quickly. Let's jump right into the phones on this, and we can talk about the return of Christ too, what the church teaches and how all this syncs up. Joe in Los Angeles, good afternoon. You're on the air with Professor Shoman.
Good afternoon. To me, it's so silly and so absurd because if they're producing one, that means that man is dictating when Christ will come, mm-hmm. correct? Because if they made one, say, hypothetically, 10 years ago, right? Okay, 10 years ago, Jesus Christ would have had to come because they produce one. If they do it in 10 years. So what I'm saying is man will now dictate, if that's the case, when Christ mm-hmm. will come. We produce one. God, you got to show up now. We made it. So that's, to me, it's just so absurd and so silly because God will do it in his time. We can't expedite it and make it move quicker.
Okay.
God is God. We can't control God.
It's an excellent point, but it's kind of looking at prophecy from the other direction, because prophecy isn't that man is making God do something at a certain time. It's that God knows in advance the circumstances which will happen in the future when he is about to do something. The time of when Christ was to come was prophesied. Lots of things about the crucifixion was prophesied, and it's not that man doing those things caused the Christ to come at that point in time. It's that God knew beforehand, and that's just the nature of prophecy.
Yeah, I think your explanation's the best. That Christ is that tenth heifer, right? I mean, where do you stand on this whole thing?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I try to stay out of the way of getting run over by God.
You're great.
No, there's such a mystery there's a tremendous mystery to what on earth is going on in salvation history, not only in general, but especially with the role of the Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned before what we know about the Second Coming, and one of the things we know about the Second Coming, Catechism of the Catholic Church says, quote, exactly, paragraph 674, the glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the Jews all converting will cause the second coming? No, but it means that it's been prophesied, and it's in the catechism, it's dogma, that in fact God knows that there will be a widespread conversion of the Jews before the second coming. So what the logic of all of this is I don't want to, I want to be in good condition if I get to heaven. I don't want to be in any trouble.
That sounds great. Dee Dee's in Phoenix, Arizona. Dee Dee, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Professor. I have a question regarding Psalm 51, especially verses 18 and 19. 18, in your good pleasure, make Zion prosper, build up the walls of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And verse 19, there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you, especially the last part. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Is that an allusion to the red heifer prophecy?
It could be. But actually, there are a number of places in the Old Testament where I think the building up of Jerusalem, that basically the altar to God that used to be in the temple is now in our hearts. Yeah. And the sacrifice that God wants that used to be burnt offerings is now, you know, our love and our acceptance of his providence and our acceptance of suffering and so forth. So a lot of those Jerusalem, temple, Temple Mount prophecies from the Old Testament, when I read the Psalms, I see them as being transformed in the transformation from the law written on tablets of stone to the law written in our hearts.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about this before the show today, and one scripture, the Red Heifer prophecy, they said stemmed from, I think it was Numbers 19, 1 through 22, and that passage there described a sexual, kind of a sacrificial ritual involving a red heifer. But, you know, I think your point is incredibly valid. You can take a look at, you know, your scripture, and as he pointed out, as the professor pointed out, Dee Dee, there's a lot of different locations there. But how does this tie in with Catholic theology? I want to talk about the return of Christ. St. Faustina, she wrote about it in her diary. The Lord, you know, talked about the time in which we live. And no one knows the day or the hour, Scripture tells us. But the Lord told St. Faustina, I've chosen you to be the secretary of my mercy. And he also says, before I come as a just judge, I first come as a merciful Savior. And woe to those of you who do not recognize my visitation. In diary entry 429, he says to her, he's speaking to Faustina, you will prepare the world for my final coming. And again, we can interpret this in lots of ways. Diary entry 848, he says, speak to the world about my mercy. It's a sign of the end times. After this will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the fountain of mercy. And the list goes on. I can give you probably five more quotes. How do we interpret this? I mean, how do you view the times in which we are living? When war erupted in between Gaza and Israel, or Hamas and Israel, I immediately began to think of these things. I had a friend who says, always keep your eyes on Israel. It's going to begin there. How do you read the signs that are now unfolding?
I'm with you. We know from the first catechism of the Council of Trent that three things must precede the second coming in addition to the conversion of the Jews. The great apostasy, that is a widespread falling away from the faith, and the gospel has to be spread throughout the world, and the coming of the Antichrist. And, you know, it's not hard to look at the church today and the Catholic world today, the Christian world today, and see it as having fallen away tremendously from the faith that it had 200 years ago. And the same thing with the gospel being spread throughout the world, you know, with the internet and with satellite radio and TV and everything, pretty much it has reached everywhere in the world. And, you know, the Antichrist is anyone's guess. But, you know, I mean, as you said earlier in the show, our job is really to be ready, because it might be the second coming, or it might be our personal judgment coming to meet the Lord. But in any case, we'd better be ready at any moment. But I think a lot of the signs could be seen as being ready to be fulfilled.
Yeah, my guest today, Professor Roy Shulman. If you want to join us, I don't even think I have time. I don't think I have time for any more phone calls. I'm looking at the clock. Boy, the conversation's fascinating. If you missed any part of it, hit our archives, okay? Go to the podcast. You can download it there. But I'll tell you what, Professor, in the final moment, I want to give you final thoughts. You got about 30 seconds.
Thank you for all you're doing. Everyone, you know, pray, try to stay in a state of grace, make use of the sacrament of confession. We have treasures as Catholics that no one else has. And pray that those who don't have the treasures we have, including the Jews and the Protestants and the atheists and the Muslims, can enter into the unspeakable treasures we have.
Professor, thank you. Stay with me. I'll be right back.